Welcome, everybody, and happy Thursday afternoon. I hope you are keeping it cool out there. Please check on your friends and family members that might be a little bit more susceptible to heat-related illnesses, those sorts of things. Check in on people, because it's about every one of us. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Today, we are saving democracy, one reform idea at a time. Big, big thanks to our last guests, both of the Campaign Legal Center, Elizabeth Schimmick and Kedrick Payne. We're going to have them back. I think we now have stumbled upon what we're going to be doing for reform on this network, on this show, which is pick a particular reform or pick a particular problem and then just do a deep dive on that, give people some action steps, and let's go fix this damn thing because I'm sick of it. I know he is too. My co-host this afternoon is Nick Ramos. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We welcome Professor Michael Wagner of the University of Wisconsin, Madison. He is the director of the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. Yeah, give me some of that, some civic renewal. And we are also joined by Christy McGivelray. She's the executive director of Voters, Not Politicians. And she knows how Michigan has fixed some of these problems. But in the secret show before the show that you can find on YouTube, also at Maggie Dawn Show on Facebook, X, and Instagram, we were having a little chit-chat about crypto and some of your thoughts. Christy, jump right on in. Water's warm.
Sure. And I just can't help myself because I really care about democracy more than anything else, which is saying a lot because there's a lot of stuff I care about. And crypto really gets to the heart of it. People think it's complicated. I'm going to say it's not. Pretend it's a multi-level marketing scheme, but it's money, right? So instead of me holding a dollar and you holding a dollar and both of us agreeing that we hold a dollar with crypto, if I hold a dollar, but I bought it 6 months ago before everyone started buying it, all of a sudden it costs more. It's more, it's worth more, right? It's literally a pyramid scheme, but a currency. And it's tied to all sorts of the shady stuff that you mentioned. What I was talking about right before we got on is the way that far-right extremists are actually using it to fund themselves because it can't be traced and it's secret. And after Charlottesville, when there were literal Nazis marching through the streets, beating people up, a lot of different banking institutions refused to work with the people that were associated with that. They turned to crypto. And the Southern Poverty Law Center has been doing amazing research on figuring out how these violent far-right extremists are leaning on cryptocurrencies in order to amass money to do very bad things. So everyone should go check it out. It's lame, to say the least.
It is so lame. Thanks so much. Again, we've got Christy McGivelray of Voters, Not Politicians, as well as Professor Michael Wagner from the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. Professor, let me ask you this. When you talk about trying to get people re-engaged with voting, with their government, with petitioning, with our right to referendum, which needs to get fixed in this state, direct democracy. What are some of the objections or things that you hear from regular people that's keeping them on the sidelines? And secondly, how do we fix those things?
I think there are a few things. One is the persistent, growing, and false belief that both sides are the same. And so a lot of people who don't participate say, a pox on both your houses, I don't want to participate, it doesn't make a difference. Both sides are the same, they're just as bad as each other, and it doesn't make a difference what I do. And that, I think, false belief is one thing that drives this. Another is how intense and sometimes scary political discussion and participation has become. And so in some of the surveys we do in Wisconsin, we've found that one of the biggest predictors of why people don't participate is that they are afraid that something might happen to them, whether that be actual physical violence or just, having people treat them in ways that are, you know, less than how humans treat each other or should treat each other when they're trying to engage in a civil or difficult debate. And so I think there's the I'm afraid to participate because of how it might feel or my own safety. And then there's the it doesn't make a difference anyway, I think are the two big things that are getting in the way.
You know, it occurs to me, and this is just a little anecdote. My mom's in her 80s. She had lunch the other day with a bunch of her grade school classmates. And she actually brought up what I do for a living and my opinions on a few things. And her, that particular group of former classmates is very, very conservative. She got a letter 2 days later from one of the women in that group that said, thanks, Shirley, for saying that. And what I refer to this as is permission structures telling people, no, you're not the only Democrat in Eau Claire County or Winnebago County. There are lots of you out there. And even if you don't consider yourself a Democrat and you're one of those people that says, eh, I don't like the news. I'm over this. People, you have a voice. You are not alone. And there are avenues to engage. And I think some of these democracy reforms are the things that the vast majority of us agree about most of the time. If I can very briefly just follow up with you, Professor, what are some of the things that get people engaged, that bring people out, that people say, I might be a little bit nervous that my coworker might hate me, but I'm going to say what I need to say anyways?
Well, I think one is being asked. When political leaders seeking office, when people leading social movement groups ask people to help, ask people for their vote, ask people to participate, and provide them an avenue and a structure to do so, more people participate. So I think that that's part of it. I think that places that have healthier local news ecologies have higher participation. So when local news is covering local politics and saying it's not just the governor's race or the Senate race or the presidency that matters, but the local sheriff's race and other kinds of things that matter, that tends to bring people out to vote and participate a little bit more as well. And, you know, I think the willingness to talk to people who are different than you is a big one. In Wisconsin, a little bit more than two-thirds of us have stopped talking politics with somebody because we disagree, and about 20% of us have just cut somebody out of our lives altogether. And once you start cutting people out of your lives because of a political disagreement, it becomes a lot easier to avoid participating in lots of other kinds of aspects of civic life.
And Professor, I mean, you were brilliantly talking about like the voter apathy and even hesitancy that we've seen in Wisconsin and I imagine across the country. And we're starting to get it to the heart of, you know, more of this. Well, are there folks out there that are during this time of voter apathy and hesitancy starting to kind of, you know, reach a level where they want to be engaged? I mean, are you seeing, you know, in Wisconsin or across the country, you know, the opposite side of that paradigm? And what do you think is driving that right now?
I think that one of the things that we found in our surveys of the state and in our analyses of news coverage in the state and social media conversation in the state is that particular issues can really be inspiring for people to participate. But it is almost always when something major has been lost on that issue. So from the Democrats' perspective, losing the legal right to legal abortion, right, was one that generated a lot of political participation. Attitudes about, you know, how many decisions seem to be getting made at the federal level that violate democratic norms in many cases and our laws in other is something else that seems to be motivating people to participate. And so it's when it's an issue they care about, reproductive rights, democracy itself, and they see a threat to it that motivates participation. It's the same kind of motivation that spurred folks on the more religious right in the 70s, 80s, and 90s who wanted to change abortion policy, were on the minority side and the losing side legally of that in that era, and participated a ton and ended up getting what they wanted.
One of the things that you touched upon, Professor, is the importance of local news. We are actually tomorrow on this very program talking about news deserts and the fact that if you live in a news desert, guess what? Your average wages are lower. You have less retirement income. You take less vacation. You're more sick. You have less public education. I could go on and on and on. News deserts are the thing that deprive people of the natural on-ramp to engagement with government.
Well, and I think about, too, especially in some of these rural areas that we see, when you don't have the luxury of local news and you don't have the luxury of being able to get anything other than what is being fed to you in the community, it very much changes the way in which people act, their perspective, their experiences. Mm-hmm. And I mean, big foundations. I mean, I know the Heritage Foundation's one of them. They've used social media and other tools to then feed news, and it creates not an educated electorate, and that's dangerous.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this on YouTube, go ahead, folks, and Google Sinclair Broadcasting newsreaders, and it is literally a veritable screen of like 68 supposedly newscasters reading the exact same script. And I'm here to tell you, listen, every headline that's written, every article that is written, there are choices made, not yeah. just about what to cover, how to cover it, what headline runs. I mean, consider this. Beloved governor announces he will not seek third term, right? Or crazy commie left. I mean, right, you all get it.
Yeah.
Christy, let's turn to you. Sure. And folks, if you're just joining us, we've got Christy McGivelray, the executive director of Voters Not Politicians. We've also got Professor Michael Wagner. He's the director for the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And I've got a co-host, thank God, Nick Ramos, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Christy, Michigan is doing relatively better than Wisconsin. Give folks, like, what's the good first step? What's the first reform that people should start asking their elected officials to institute?
Sure. Well, what we did in Michigan was actually go around our elected officials because they were not instituting the reforms, which actually remains the problem. So, and I want to be really clear. I've actually come on to Voters Not Politicians. I've been here for only 2 weeks. We took on gerrymandering. That's what we did. And I've joined this organization because now we're going to take on money in politics, which is why I started talking about crypto. Because we had some major structural reforms, more people voted, we got a more evenly split legislature, but unfortunately, the legalized bribery of campaign financing affects both parties. And a lot of stuff that we were really hoping for ground to a halt because of that. So we've got a bipartisan problem in Michigan that is truly actually the worst in the nation. I think it was in 2015, there was a report that came out, I want to say it was from Common Cause, that said that we were like ground zero for corruption. I could go on forever. But yes, so I think unrigging the rules of how we vote and how we draw districts, absolutely. But we have to tackle the money thing. And as you were talking about before we started talking, this money in politics thing is on steroids under Trump. It's just bananas.
It is just bananas. That other statistic, when you are in a news desert, guess what you also have? Way more corruption in your local government because there's nobody there writing about the stupid and corrupt things that the elected people are doing. Oh, here's the other thing. I'm going to try to sneak this in. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do it. Jacob's very relieved.
Cliffhanger.
Thank you. Yeah, my you're going to want to hear this when I come back. I'm going to layer up some data for you that draws the line from 1976 right into today. 50 years of legalized bribery and corruption in this country. It's hurting all of us. You're going to want to stay tuned. We got Michael, we got Christy, we got Nick, and you got me, Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We continue fixing democracy on the other side. Stay tuned.